Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This Independence Day, wrap yourself in comfort and freedom with Minky Couture. From stars, stripes, and snuggles to cozy classics, our luxury blankets are proudly made to comfort. Whether you're watching fireworks or hosting backyard barbecues, be proud to be cozy all summer long. Celebrate comfort. Celebrate freedom. Celebrate you. Shop now at MinkyCouture.com and make your 4th of July unforgettably cozy.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers, part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. I'm Aaron Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bowes. In this episode, we're discussing the Bollywood musical Taj Express, which has just kicked off a North American tour.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, traditional lands of First Nations and Métis people.
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Are you ready for some theater?
Yes.
The sexiest art.
Yes. So this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode because we have a live musical to review. Also, you and I have both been really sick over this past week.
Yeah. I went to Grand Prairie.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear my tip about Grand Prairie?
Don't go to Grand Prairie.
Never go to Grand Prairie.
Never go to Grand Prairie. Yes. You went to Grand Prairie, got sick, came back. Or you came back, then got sick.
Well, I think I got sick there, but didn't really realize until I got home.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, came back, then got me sick. So it's been a bit of a week where we have not...
Some coughing.
We have not been motivated to do anything.
But we did interview... Well, we interviewed them before we went, but we did go to see Taj Express.
Yeah, we went to see Taj Express. That's something. Yes, and I apologize to everyone who was sitting near me that had to put up with all my coughing and sniffling.
There was two really elaborately dressed white guys next to me. Wearing kind of like paisley, Nehru collared jackets.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were they having a good time?
Seemed like they were.
All right. Well, before we get to that, guess what, Matt?
We have a review.
We have a new review.
Yeah.
This is from the Australian Apple Podcasts page, and it is from Ronald_U, where they say, full of insights and sometimes hilarious analysis. Mm-hmm. I'm Indian, who lived in Australia and now moved to Canada. Oh. Welcome to Canada.
Welcome. It's interesting that you're still on the Australian iTunes store. Do you use a VPN to do Australian stuff?
Well, like, I can switch ours to other countries, so...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's curious. I would be actually interested to hear how many people who've moved away but still stay on their respective Apple, you know, stores. Anyway.
Anyways, Ronald_U goes on to say... That's part of the reason why I didn't have a lot of general appreciation for Indian cinema until I found this podcast. Mm. Your knowledge of films is fascinating, and you guys seem to know more about Indian cinema than most Indians, including myself. I love your discussions, various themes that you come up with for episodes. Matt's super honesty and the banter between the two of you. You guys make my daily commutes much easier to handle. Thank you.
Oh, well, Thank you, Ronald.
Yes, thank you, Ronald, for leaving that great review. We... really appreciate it.
That was 5 stars, by the way.
It was 5 stars. And yeah. Yeah, we encourage all of our listeners to leave us star ratings and reviews.
Oh, biffle points. Podcasts. 10 biffle points to Ronald Yu.
10 biffle
Enjoy.
Points.
Enjoy. Don't spend them all at the same place at the biffle points store.
All right. So, Taj Express. It's a musical that Alberta...
It's a real musical, right? Like, this is musical theater.
Right.
As opposed to a Bollywood film.
Right. It's actually, I mean, even saying it's a musical is not entirely correct because there's not much live.
It's what you would call in French a spectacle.
Yeah. It's kind of like it's a dance musical.
Yeah.
that Alberta Ballet had just brought to town to open its latest season. I think it's like the 53rd
or something.
I think.
Yeah, 53rd season. Good for them. They've had ballet for 53 years now. Yeah, I just think it's amazing that the art form of ballet has existed for 53 years. Can you believe it?
Who would have thought?
1966, ballet is invented.
Who would have thought it would have stuck around?
Alberta was at the forefront of this.
So we were really fortunate to attend the Friday night performance here in Edmonton.
And yes, thanks to Alberta Ballet for hooking us up with review tickets.
Yes, and Bottom Line Productions.
Yeah.
So we really appreciate that they brought this show to town, and it is now touring the rest of the continent. So
packed house.
Oh,
I don't think
yeah.
there was a free seat. And after having interviewed the two actors, mm-hmm. performers that I was able to speak to, it was cool to see them on stage.
Yes. So our last episode, for those that listened, was an interview with the performers who play Karina Kaboom and Shankar. They are Ninad Samadar and Tanvi Patel. So thanks again to Ninad and Tanvi for coming on the show. So just a bit of, before we get into kind of how we felt about the show and what we took away from it, we'll just give a bit of background information as we always do. So as we mentioned, the show is called Taj Express. It's directed by Shruti Merchant and choreographed by her sister Vaibhavi Merchant. Now, people who are familiar with Bollywood or kind of contemporary Indian dance would recognize the name Vaibhavi Merchant and her sister.
Are they related to Merchant as in Merchant Ivory?
As far as I am aware, there is no connection.
Okay.
So Vaibhavi Merchant is kind of a regular, she's a choreographer in Bollywood, and we'll get to her credits in a second. But she's also a regular on those Indian dance shows like So You Think You Can Dance and the like.
Sure.
She also has a cameo as one of the judges in Student of the Year alongside Farah Khan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we've seen her before. But Vaibhavi Merchant and her sister Shruti Merchant are the granddaughters of choreographer Hiralal G. Merchant.
Okay.
Or Hiral B. Merchant. He was a choreographer kind of in the golden age of Bollywood from the early 1950s to the mid-1980s.
Sure.
And so his granddaughters are now, you know, following in his footsteps.
Okay.
Vaibhavi Merchant's life, as well as her grandfather's life, was previously staged in another musical called The Merchants of Bollywood.
They had their own musical about them?
Yes.
Oh, that's cool.
And this is kind of the follow-up to that. So that was an Australian musical, from what I understand, you know, Australian Indian, and it was also written by Toby Gow, who has written this musical as well.
Okay.
So Vaibhavi Merchant started out by assisting her uncle, Chini Prakash, and her first solo piece is Dola Baje in Hum Dil To Chuke Sanam.
Great song, great scene.
Yeah, for which she won the National Film Award for choreography. And yeah, that is
I get it.
An iconic scene in that film and an incredible
piece. It's the scene I remember the best of the whole movie.
Yeah. So she's gone on to work in such films as Tigers in Dehay, Befik Ray, The Doom Series, Jab Tak Hai John, Student of the Year, where, as I mentioned, she also has a cameo, Aya, Ban Baja Barat, and many, many, many more.
I like all of those movies.
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a commonality.
Her list of credits is impressive. Her sister has also done some choreography. She choreographed Thug Lay from Ladies vs. Ricky Bell, which is the song that plays during the credits.
I don't really remember that one.
It's like the music video one where
yeah I remember
like,
the
they're on like a set and
I remember the Oh Ladies one and then when they go to that rave on the beach.
Yeah, no, this is one that like doesn't even exist within the world of the film. It's just plays during the credits.
You should watch it afterwards, I guess. Yeah,
it's fun. So that's a bit of background on the people behind the show. Matt, do you want to tell us a bit about what the show was like?
Okay, so it's kind of a meta show,
mm-hmm.
right? Like I think it's designed so that basically all the average viewer would need to know is Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, oh,
They do mention it quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if maybe they changed that depending on where it's performed, because it seemed kind of modular.
Mm.
There was lots of jokes that they slipped in about Donald Trump, for instance, or...
I think the A.R. Rahman and Slumdog Millionaire kind of opener and kind of the A.R. Rahman inspiration throughout the show, I think that will always stays the same.
Yeah, but it's designed in such a way that you could slot in new songs and like kind of topical humor.
Yeah.
But it's about a young composer named Shankar, who we met in real life, played by Ninad Samadar, who...
Well, we met over a computer, but...
Yeah, it's, computers are real life. You know this. He's a young, up-and-coming composer in the film world. And basically, the whole show is us watching him work his way through his first movie.
Yeah. And he idolizes A.R. Rahman.
Yeah, he loves A.R. Rahman, talks about his work, and he wants to try and live up to that someday. He's working on a movie called Taj Express, very meta, which is being put together by a producer named Raj Pakora, which kind of a funny funny name there. I still
Do you think that's supposed to be a play on Raj Kapoor?
Oh, I think it's 100% supposed to be a play on Raj Kapoor. And not only that, I think the kind of key art on the front, on the posters and everything... It's a guy and a girl, so presumably Arjun and Kareena Kaboom.
Who are the stars, who are the stars
of the movie within the musical.
Yeah.
They are kind of posed in a way that to me suggests the RK Films logo. She's not like kind of as dipped back and he's not holding a fiddle, but it kind of gives off that vibe to me.
Right.
So anyway, Shankar is working on this movie, which... is kind of changing in front of our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
First off, Shankar shows Kareena Kaboom the kind of heartbeat of the movie, and she dances to three songs.
Mm-hmm.
Then it moves to show Arjun, the king of the streets, who is, he runs, so in the movie, Kareena Kaboom is a starlet inside the world of the movie, inside of the world of the musical.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, there's a kind of a meta layer on it because we are following Shankar, who's writing the music for the film, and the performances are from the film.
And also, Kareena Kaboom, the character in the film, is also making a film. Or is just kind of being a starlet. She goes to parties.
Yeah.
She does all kinds of stuff. So there's all kinds of layers.
Yeah.
She meets this guy named Arjun, who is a... he runs a youth center for gangsters in the middle of the city in Mumbai. They fall in love with each other. There's a kind of villain type guy named Shakal who wants to steal Arjun's school, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The characters are very broad and also they don't really talk.
No.
Like
they dance.
Yeah. Shankar talks all the time.
Yeah.
And his band, he has
a live band with
his
him.
Band. He's got, The Animal, which they call him, who does the drums. And I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And they also have a guy named Flash, who does live guitar.
Yeah.
And I didn't catch the guy who did the flute's name, but according to the playbill, his name was Avadhut Phadke.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't remember what his character was named.
No.
But he was also great. So those three and Shankar are kind of the Greek chorus. No, they're the main characters. The dancers are kind of the Greek chorus.
Mm-hmm.
But we follow basically the story of this movie and how it gets changed halfway through. Like, Raj Pakora doesn't like this song, so he tells Shankar, make a new song.
Mm-hmm.
And it's what you hear about those 70s, 80s Bollywood films where they kind of just made the script up on the spot. It was based on the director kind of going to the hero's house and telling them a story, and then they just work from that. So it shows that kind of malleable nature of it. I think this is very smart because, I'll say it, most of the people present there, it was mostly white people, I would say. Maybe a third to half Indian people.
Yeah, there were a lot of kind of people of South Asian descent who came out as well. Yeah.
And you can't...
But
if you want to appeal to everyone in Alberta, for instance, you can't really... have it be based on, you know, Sholay or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the audience is not going to have that kind of background. They probably only know Slumdog Millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So by basing it on that and explaining who A.R. Rahman is and why this Shankar likes him so much, we could follow that character's journey. And I think it walks a fine line between, like, laughing at the idea of a Bollywood movie be kind of being over the top and having right. characters that don't make any sense and, you know, oh, it's time for a fight scene, like that kind of meta winking humor and like legitimately appreciating that stuff.
Yeah, and that's something that I really appreciated in the show is I really thought that it was accessible both to an audience that is unfamiliar with Bollywood as well as an audience that is familiar with Bollywood who are going to recognize, you know, a lot of the cliches and the tropes and kind of certain gestures. You know, at one point our hero Arjun, you know, emulates Shah Rukh Khan.
He does a Shah Rukh Khan move. He is kind of surrounded by dancers at that point. So at the time we watched it, he wasn't able to fully extend his arms.
Yeah.
But we knew what he was doing.
Yeah, we knew what he was doing. And so...
And Shah Rukh Khan is the only real life person apart from A.R. Rahman, I think, who is name checked.
Yeah, in the show.
Yeah.
So, you know, like there's stuff that because we watch so much Bollywood that we recognize. But then I also thought that they do a really good job of kind of just hand holding you through what a Bollywood movie is.
Yeah,
like.
I think my mother would enjoy this.
Yeah.
Like she's never seen a Bollywood movie in her life. I know that's weird. Your mm-hmm. mom has. But like she's never seen one, but I think she would get the point.
Yeah.
And it's not like tokenizing or otherizing. It's not like, look at these wacky weirdos in their film industry. It's just more like, well, that's showbiz.
Partly because it's coming from people who are, you know, within the context of the piece, in, you know, they're on the inside.
And they are so insiders, but when, it's not off-putting.
Yeah, so when they're making fun of, you know, Bollywood, it comes across as self-deprecating, but also kind of genuine.
It's not an SNL sketch about Bollywood movies.
No, not at all. Also, the kind of plot of the film, eventually they get on the Taj Express, you know.
Which is a train sort line. Of metaphysical train that goes from Mumbai down to South India.
Exactly. And so by having the plot line of...
We don't see the train.
No. By having the plot line of the show take that route, it allows the show itself to take the route where it takes us down into other parts of India and shows us different aspects of Indian culture through dance.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a weird structure because the first half, before the interval, which they do pop up a thing that says intermission and it made me laugh.
Yeah.
But
that was one thing that you asked the performers is, will there be an interval? You and I are very like...
I don't know. I love intervals. I love the idea of it. And if you want to replicate the experience, you got to have that.
Yeah.
But it kind of split the styles of dance and narrative into, because mm-hmm. the first half is all Hindi musical and there's songs from Hindi musicals that we recognized.
Yeah.
And it is kind of like that over the top look to it. Whereas second half...
And it's all in Mumbai, obviously.
Yeah, it's all in Mumbai. And then the second half is traveling around and you get kind of a devotional song, you get a Bhangra song, you get South Indian music.
And there you get to see, you know, different dance styles. Like, I am totally going to butcher this and I apologize.
It's a long word.
Like Bharatanatyam.
Yeah. So it's...
From Tamil Nadu.
It is an interesting way of... framing the movie. Not the movie. Well, I guess it is framing the movie, but it's an interesting way of framing this exploration of various dance and music styles to have it completely mm-hmm. bifurcated. It does kind of go back to Mumbai stuff at the end for a big kind of chorus, you know, return, but it takes a weird side trip.
And I love the fact that you get to see all of these different dance styles and music styles. And so in addition to seeing some Bharatanatyam, we also see some Kathak at a certain point. There's, as you mentioned, some Bhangra. And there's an amazing set piece in the middle where you see some Garba and some Dandiya. You know, so you see some folk style dancing.
It actually takes the Dol Baje song and then melds it with Dandiya.
Yeah.
So that was really cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's the version from Ram Leela and not the, which has a different name. I forget what the name is. And not the version from Hum Dil Se Shukr Sanam. But it's similar to the scene that you see in
That's kind Ram of, it's Leela. Actually used for a much happier scene than it is in it is. Ram Leela.
It is. And I got very excited because Garba is one of the dancing styles that I've been doing for, I guess, over a year now.
That song also has a killer opening. So you know, like right away what's going down.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess that gets, like, that's kind of the basic outline of the show. And so I guess now, like, what were some of your favorite moments and favorite pieces?
Well, something cool about it is that they have a kind of translucent screen where Shankar and his band you could kind of see them, but they're a little bit obscured.
Yeah.
And they can kind of banter while stuff is happening on stage. But then they also project, like, background images on there. So there was a big Ganesh statue at one point.
Yes.
Or there's, like, a temple. Or there's, like, you know, a seaside look.
That Ganesh scene with the big Ganesh statue was one of my favorite parts of the show because that's the hero's entrance. And he enters in, like, a big devotional parade for Ganesh. And there's all these drummers. And
but then he does kind of hip-hop-y stuff. It's sort of like what happens in Jude Law 2.
Yeah, yeah. Or, you know, when
Salman... He's even kind of dressed the same way.
Yeah, or when Salman Khan is introduced in Bajrani Bajan.
Yeah.
Or Ranveer Singh when he's introduced in Ram Leela with all the Rams. Like... That to me was such a typical like hero introduction from Bollywood. It was so exciting to see it live.
Yeah.
And it just like you immediately, I felt like I immediately understood the kind of hero that Arjun was.
It's also strange considering about 4 weeks ago I went to go see Iron Maiden who also have a big, they have big painted sort of screens
okay.
and each song has a different painting of Eddie. For their logo guy,
right. Yeah, okay.
like being in various battles and things. And I was like, oh, that's really weird that they're doing the exact same thing in Taj Express. So if you like Iron Maiden, you know, that one aspect of this show might do it for you.
Sure. Sure, Matt.
But I mean, it's kind of difficult to narrow in characters on this, right? Because really the only character is Shankar.
Yeah.
And I did like his interplay with Flash, the guitarist. They had kind of a sort of brotherly kind of riffing off each other thing. And Flash was making fun of him for, you know, being such a A.R. Rahman nerd. And, you know, that's kind of fun. And I thought the live band was actually awesome.
Yeah.
And they were like, especially keeping up to the songs I knew.
Yeah.
And especially the drummer, like... As far as I could tell, he did not miss a beat the entire time.
Yeah, it was a good mix of live music and recorded music, which I appreciated because I do kind of want to hear some of the songs the way I know them.
It's that thing like when you go see a band live, and if they play a song that you know like intimately because you've listened to it 1,000 times, the live version is never as good.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the one you know.
But at one point in the show, they do, you know, and they're like, this is what A.R. Rahman really sounds like. And they play, and they invite everyone.
They do Chaya Chaya live.
Yeah. They play Chaya Chaya live, and they invite everyone to sing along with them. And what was really funny, Matt, was no one near us knew what song it was or was singing.
No, those two really nicely dressed guys, they didn't get it.
No one around us knew what it was. And I'm sitting there, even though I'm all stuffed up in coffee, just singing Chaya Chaya.
There's also.
Which I only know the lyrics Chaya Chaya.
And there was also some useful yoga that Flash let us in.
Yeah.
It's sort of a...
That there was...
Press your thumb on your nose. And it was really helpful considering we were both stuffed up. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
He knew that we needed help.
He had a good level of audience.
He was kind of... He was like the... Yeah, he's the guy that talks to the audience.
Yeah, exactly. He would break the fourth wall. And he also was the one that taught a bit of Bhangra. There was a bit of
They did a live Bhangra song where he played guitar and the drummer came out and played drums.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was funny. He teaches you kind of a step, basically. But it was, again, only old white people getting up and doing it. So, I mean, I'm pretty shy and that kind of thing. You didn't get up and do any Bhangra. So, I don't know.
I was tired. I'm very stuffed up.
Yeah.
Also, I didn't want to, like, get in anyone's way.
Yeah, exactly.
I sang Chaya Chaya.
Yeah, yeah.
I was impressed with how contemporary the show was at times.
Yeah.
They incorporated songs... that are as new as kind of just from last year. So there's a song from Simba in the show, a song from Sonu K, Titu Ki, Sweetie, which is a movie I hate, but I do love that song. It's the one where they reference Rihanna, Bomb Digga Diggity.
Right. It is that modular nature, though. Like,
yeah.
We watched a kind of promo video, or you sent it to me. I watched the whole thing. I don't know if you did.
I did.
It was a promo video from 4 or 5 years ago of this show, and there were older songs there.
Yeah.
So I was kind of anticipating it would be, you know, your 2010s type songs. But slotting in new stuff is cool.
Yeah.
And a way to keep it relevant. And if you're...
Foreign Sons, like, really...
It's a way to make people want to go see it more than once, too.
Yeah, yeah. Really kind of contemporary and relevant stuff, as well as some, like, older songs.
Yeah.
Not everything was super new. And I was very excited to hear Chamak Chalo, and the choreography to Chamak Chalo, that was incredible.
We told our friends afterwards that that song is about a robot, so that was fun.
Yeah.
He kind of does some of the Shark moves with the scarf
right.
from that, but and he also he grows sunglasses at some point, too. They just kind of magically appear. This is Arjun, by the way, who's doing most of this, like, hero dancing.
Yeah, I will say I was really disappointed because at one point they say... Like, that they're ready to bang, bang. And so I thought...
It's time.
Bang, bang. What a banger. Yeah. So stoked.
Just watched that movie.
It was... They did not do bang, bang.
No. But...
why would they tease us so, Matt?
I guess there's, what, maybe 20 dancers on stage at once.
Yeah.
Right? I think the top's out there. And...
Maybe even more. There are a lot of dancers on
stage. I think their choreography was absolutely bulletproof.
Yeah, and I loved the variety. So like I said, we had some classical dancing, we had some folk dancing, we also had some like really kind of contemporary Bollywood, some kind of hip-hop Bollywood. There was
salsa.
A fantastic item number.
Yeah, they do the item number from Ramlila.
Yeah, the ladies, and there's a group of ladies on stage, and they looked so sexy.
I think that one was kind of oddly placed, though. Because there's like a three-song medley very close to the beginning that's introducing Kareena Kapoor.
Yeah, all Kareena Kapoor.
It felt a little out of place to have the item numbers so early.
Mm.
And maybe that's, spoiler alert, the actual movie Taj Express no one really likes. And you could tell because it's kind of a slapdash affair. Shankar's getting, you know, he's up all night writing songs for it. So maybe that's just showing that the movie itself wouldn't be that well-paced. But it doesn't really make sense to have the heroine introduced so early and an item song and a bunch of all this stuff before the hero even shows up.
Fair enough, but it was a good number.
I mean, I love the number. It was just, I was kind of anticipating something like that happening later.
And there's a bit of a male item number later on where the guys are all like decked out in black and gold. And
you could feel the temperature going up with all the women in the audience.
Oh, yeah.
There was a guy kind of dressed like a Chippendale dancer with no shirt on, kind of harem pants.
Yeah.
And a bow tie. And I kept looking at that guy. The costumes were fantastic. I would say that...
So
they're
shiny.
Not super detailed, but they work because we weren't very close to this front.
No.
But they worked for us. They were like super shiny and you could tell what they were going for. Each costume change looked great.
And that
must have been 40 costumes. Oh, the costume changed like every number.
And that was something that's so great about seeing a show like this live is you really get a sense of like the scope and the scale. You know, when you're watching a dance scene on film, things are cut up. The camera can, you know, go close in and can pull out. That can't happen on stage. And so the whole piece, whether it's just a solo or whether it's 20 dancers on stage, has to be choreographed in such a way that if at the very back of the room, they can still see it and they can still connect with it.
Yeah.
And so I was really impressed with both the use of space on the stage. And I mean, I will say that the Northern Jubilee Auditorium where we saw it has fantastic sight lines wherever you sit and great acoustics. It's a beautiful theater. But I was really impressed with how they used the stage to kind of its like full capacity and also how everything was choreographed in such a way that you could really connect with people's movements and it didn't rely on kind of small if it did rely on small gestures they were very big and you could see them
it was sort of like when we went to go see David Byrne last summer
in the same theater
he also used the stage very geometrically and moved people around. So I would say that, you know, you might want to be right up in the front row and, you know, see the dancers up close, but I kind of prefer being further back.
Yeah, I do too.
So you could see the choreography to its full extent.
Yeah, I actually like, in that theater especially, sitting a little further back on the first balcony because I find it really easy to get kind of a bird's eye view of the stage that way.
Yeah.
And so I think you can really appreciate the choreography that way.
There isn't really a lot of, like, stage stuff, though.
Yeah.
They'll bring out, like, kind of flowy flags sometimes, and there's the costumes,
it's
obviously.
It's really about the dancing.
It is really about the dancing, and you get that kind of projected background, like I said. But really, you're not there for stagecraft.
Yeah, it's a really good mix of kind of theater and dance and musical, because it's not a Broadway musical. Like when we were kind of preparing to go see it, I was like, is this going to be like a Broadway musical? Is it going to be more of like a ballet? But it's a bit of a hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's theater.
it's not musical theater. It's like a dance show.
Yeah.
Right.
I think unsurprisingly, we loved it.
I thought it was great. Since you know more about dancing than me, like I'm always impressed by any dancing.
Right.
But was this dancing especially impressive to you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of funny. Like at first, I was pointing out to you some of the stuff that I've done in my short
but then
dance career.
But then they're busting out like flips and doing like making a human chair to carry someone around.
Yeah, and
we've gone to so many things lately, but we just saw Cirque du Soleil actually in Calgary.
Yeah,
and there was a little bit of that too, like kind of using bodies to, you know, make props.
Yeah, and that's part of what I loved about the show was that it was so physical. It was very much about communicating things through the body, through dance and through body language.
But it's not communicating really a story, really. Like, it's more a mood thing.
Yeah, but
because the story of the movie, it's a very spare story.
Sure.
Like, you could say in two sentences what all happens in this movie, but you're more there to see big emotions portrayed.
Yeah. So I would say, like, it's communicating a lot emotionally as well as a lot culturally. Like, again, the choice to kind of take us through, you know, using this train metaphor, to take us around India and show us, you know, it goes to the southernmost tip and they go to temples. And
we never see a map, though. So if you didn't actually know
the geography.
If you didn't know the geography of India, you might be a little bit confused.
Mm-hmm.
They do say south a lot.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it's...
There's also one of those small kingdoms that you see occasionally. It crops up later on.
Yeah, and I think it's an important choice that it's not just about Bollywood, but it's about Indian culture, I think, was one of the things that I took away from it. And how those two are connected.
I could have done without, like, some of the hacky jokes. You know, Donald Trump joke.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing's going to be playing in Texas. It's going to be playing all over the place. They might want to read the room
for stuff
like that.
That stuff is pretty broad, and people do like that. People do connect.
People
with
like it.
It
here.
Yeah. It's touring till December 1st. It's now in Las Vegas. I don't know if this episode will be out before the Las Vegas show.
Ooh, this would be great in Vegas. I could see this like just being a show in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It kind of has that timeless quality that you need to have a long running show in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And the spectacle.
Yeah. I think if they wanted to do a residency or something, it would actually work really well.
Yeah.
It's too bad there isn't like a Bollywood themed hotel. That would be awesome. Mm.
So then going to California, New Mexico.
It could be like the Shalimar thing from Happy New Year, like that,
right.
That kind of Dubai hotel thing. That's what I would call, like, you could make that in Vegas. That could be the framework of the Las Vegas casino that holds Taj Express as its floor show.
Oh, okay.
I'm on like four other levels here.
Yeah, all good. So after Vegas, it's going to California, New Mexico, Texas, Arkansas, Kansas, Mississippi, Alabama, North Carolina, Michigan, Indiana, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and then back to Canada to visit Montreal and Toronto. So if you are in any of these areas,
go check it out. It was really good.
Yeah, we highly encourage you to check it out.
Yeah.
We had a great time. Again, we want to thank Alberta Ballet for bringing this show to Alberta, as well as Bottom Line Productions for helping us facilitate this review episode.
Yeah, it was kind of, they seemed very busy, the dancers, so I was really happy to actually get in and talk to them briefly.
Yeah.
This episode of Bollywood is for Lovers is brought to you by Perch, the new podcast from ATB. Listen to Perch, the podcast where ATB connects with the experts, influencers, and big thinkers who are shaping Alberta. Join host and ATB's Director of Insight, Rob Roach, as he shares the story of our economy through the Albertans who are driving it. Listen and subscribe to Perch the Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. For more information about Perch the Podcast, go to atb.com/economics.
LitFest, Canada's original nonfiction festival, runs from October 17th to 27th in Edmonton. Venues across the city will play host to authors and presenters from home and afar, giving their perspectives on true crime, historic mysteries, gender identity, mental health, food culture, and many topics in between. You can see the full list of presenters at litfestalberta.org. Festival passes are sold out, but you can get tickets to individual events. Get yours today at litfestalberta.org. And while you're there, use the offer code APNROCKS19 for $5 off your ticket.
So that brings us to the end of this short supplemental. We're going to be taking a little bit of a break. Why are we taking a break, Matt?
Well, I'm going to Germany for work and then for fun. So if any one of you knows any movies set in Germany, I'm trying to think of off the top of my head, was Robta in Germany or was it Austria?
I think that was like Prague.
Yeah, there's a lot in Prague.
Yeah.
But I can't remember any off the top of my head where they go to Germany. They go to that weird German park thing.
Yeah, that's what
Germany
I was
park.
Say.
Is that in Lamhe?
No, isn't it in Tal? No, not Tal.
Del Topago.
Del Topago High.
Yeah, that. Although I don't know if they say it's in Germany, but we looked it up. Like, where is this? You know, pan European theme park. It's
I'm
in
pretty
Germany.
Sure they do because they like fly there in a day. It's very strange.
But yeah, like if you can think of any Hindi movies that take place in Germany, and I'm going to Berlin and Frankfurt. So if there's any that take place there,
yeah.
Do you think I should go like do an SRK pose in front of them or something? Like, send me a tweet. I'll do it.
Yes.
I'm by myself, so I need something to keep myself occupied.
So Matt will be in Germany 2 weeks all by himself. I will be here. But we will be getting out our annual Hindi horror Halloween episode.
It's a crossover with Netflix and Dill, too.
Yes, this year it's going to be a Netflix and Dill episode, and so we are going
so
to
this
be...
is Halloween 5, Netflix and Dill.
Yeah. We're going to be watching Typewriter, the new Sue Joy Ghost show that is on Netflix. And in the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Well, send me your requests for places I should go in Berlin and Frankfurt and act like an asshole at, like a tourist, at @Matt_BOWES, or to @BollywoodPod, because that's us. That's the whole show.
I am @Erin. This is on Twitter, by the way.
On Twitter. Of course it's on Twitter.
I am @Erin E. Fraser, ErinE, Fraser. If you're a fan of the show, please go like our page over on Facebook, facebook.com/BollywoodIsForLovers. We also encourage you to leave a star rating and review on our Apple Podcast page, just like Ronno_you did.
And it's the only way in the world to get Biffle points unless we arbitrarily give them out to Karen to give out to people.
Yes. We want to thank Becca Dahlke for our fabulous artwork. We showed it to Nanan and Tanvi, and
they loved it.
Pretty impressed.
They were like, oh, it's Tuffy, the world's best dog.
If you're missing us over this little break, you can listen to my other show that I do weekly with Paul Matwichuk called Trash Art in the Movies. We just recorded an episode about the Virgin Suicides and the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants because those
you
two
understand the
go
connection
together.
Between those.
Sure.
It's incredibly obvious.
So obvious. And I think that's it.
Yeah. So check out Taj Express when it rolls through your town, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.